We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jada Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Hey, Phil's today, afternoon baseball on WIP. And as Ernie Banks said many years ago, let's play two. Although when Ernie Banks was playing two, of course, they were playing nine innings. Now, are we still on the seven-inning rule this year, James?
Yes, we are.
And I loved it last year,
me
John.
Me too.
I mean, I thought it was... I mean, look, I'm a traditionalist. Anyone who listens to the show knows I'm a traditionalist for baseball rules and structure. But I'll tell you, I really thoroughly enjoyed last year being able to watch two games with 14 innings.
And it helps us. I mean, it did last year, especially when we didn't have enough pitchers to go around, it seemed. It's, shortening it up, having to go to less bullpen is a positive. Now, I think it's the case with Chase Anderson. Chase Anderson, I don't expect him to go deep into this one. And, you know, we will still have guys left to pitch in the bullpen in the second game. So that'll be nice.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious, and you can certainly weigh in 215-592-9494, this structure that baseball moved to last year. Do you like it or not? I love it. And, again, I'm a traditionalist, but I absolutely love it. I mean, it sort of accomplishes the goal that a lot of us want accomplished, which is a shorter game. Now, I won't want it every night. I don't want to play seven-inning baseball games 162 times. But if you're going to have a doubleheader, seven-inning games, works for me. I'll tell you what doesn't work for me, John. I don't know where the Phils are headed with their lineup today, but I would certainly suppose with two games, one of them is going to be that Roman Quinn. I mean, that's what happens, doubleheader. Hey, you start one game. The other guy, you start the other game. Like, you'll probably get the backup catcher today. You'll probably get Knapp. We'll see.
Yeah.
You know, but
I'm okay with Knapp now.
Knapp, I'm almost positive we'll get Knapp, yeah.
I agree, and that's okay. Listen, catching's brutal, man. I mean, I love hearing Ben Davis talk about, you know, some of the stories of his career. And it can be really brutal. I mean, he was telling the story the other day in the game when he's catching a game at the vet and it's like 150 degrees or something on the surface. I mean, that's brutal. So different now. You don't have AstroTurf in a lot of these places. But tell you what you're going to have today, John. One of the games, probably, Roman Quinn. And I really wonder, I really do, how much longer can the Phils go with this? I mean, they are playing games against good teams, Braves, Mets. You're going to get to the Nationals. You're going to get to all these other teams. And you know if they make the playoffs, they're only going to make it by a couple games because they're not going to run away with it. Every game matters. And when I watch Roman Quinn bat, he hurts the team. Now, the question, of course, gets to, well, what's the solution? I haven't paid attention to what's going on with all the guys that didn't make the team. I would just tell you my gut feeling is the first solution I would move to is Scott Kingery, who I know he's got his own issues. He's not great either, but he's better than Roman Quinn. 215-592-9494. I'll pose the question to everyone. On a day when we know we're probably going to see Roman Quinn play a game, what do you want to see the Phillies do with center field? And how much longer can they stick with this Roman Quinn charade? 215-592-9494.
And Kingery gives you hustle. I mean, he's got some speed, not Roman Quinn speed, but he gives you enough speed that he'll give you some extra options around the base pass.
I agree with that.
So, yeah. The question is, how long do they deem an appropriate sample size to know that this Roman Quinn truly is impossible to, remedy the situation.
I agree.
If he stays there. They're saying it's just too early. I think it's getting close. I mean, he's getting ripe.
Well, and I'll say this. Part of what tells me the situation's getting ripe, I agree with you, John. Early can be defined as, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks, 2.5, 3 weeks into a baseball season. That's one way to look at it. Then there's the, hey, the guy's been up at the big league level for like 4 years now. Not consistently up and down. He's injured. He's in. He's out. He plays. He doesn't. But, I mean, we've seen Roman Quinn play. This guy's just not good enough. 215-592-9494. If you want to weigh in on the Phillies and the center field situation and what you think they should do. Also, coming up here this segment, I will give you what I believe, and you can be the judge. Everyone can be the judge, but I believe is a compelling case for why the Eagles have a far better chance to win the NFC East than you might think for 2022. We'll get to that. Let's go to the phones right now. Let's talk to Joe in South Jersey. What's happening, Joe?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, Joe. Doing well.
Hey, so with the Eagles, with that whole Howie and Lurie, I think they weren't they involved in the what's his name, JJ or say Whiteside picking him over guy's name's been on the tip of my tongue, the guy from the Seahawks.
Well, no, I've read that Paris Campbell was the guy that they were considering
on the Ortega Whiteside.
The guy who's tearing it up for the Seahawks.
Well, yeah. DK Metcalf.
Yeah, they didn't draft.
That was his year. Yeah,
right.
They said that Jeff Lurie liked J.J. Sega Whiteside, and he's the reason that we picked him. So he's obviously been meddling for a long time with these draft picks.
Well, that's my point. Mm-hmm. I mean, that gives me, it sounds weird to say, but that gives me more hope.
Ugh.
I mean,
we're
right?
We're going to mess the draft up again.
Well, I get it. But again, Joe, you're giving me short term. I mean,
but he passed up on Jefferson. He's passed up on Metcalf. I mean, I'm happy they moved back at 12 because now I don't have to worry about him not picking Chase or Pitts because they'll be gone by the time 12 comes around.
So Joe, it alleviates your aggravation a little bit.
Yeah,
that's a different way to look at it. Joe, give me a wonder of the world.
I'm gonna go with the Bermuda Triangle.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
I mean,
answer, yeah.
Yeah.
But but does it really exist?
I mean, well, it exists. Sure. It does it do what I don't think so. No, what it's famed for doing, but it exists. The Bermuda Triangle is a real thing.
Okay. Well, what it's known for? Come on.
Hey, so Joe, you're saying that it might be good that Jeffrey Lurie is involved because he was very likely involved when picks were made that put together the team that won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, essentially.
What if Jeffrey has been emboldened by that Super Bowl win to the degree where it does seem like these draft picks that are real head scratchers are coming with greater frequency now?
That's a great question, John. That's a great, I don't know. Like, we're not behind the curtain of Oz. You know, is he doing more? Is he pulling more levers?
Hey, I'm the owner that pulled the strings to a Super Bowl, and now I like this guy.
Well, it's a great follow-up, John, and it's why I'm certain that your answer to the Twitter poll question today, how concerned are you about Lurie's involvement in football operations, you would obviously say, A, very concerned.
Yes.
I mean, I know you are. And, yeah, I mean, it's a reasonable, you know, and again, this is where it gets tricky, I believe, for all of us. We just don't really know.
Yeah.
I mean, we really don't. I mean, you hear dribs and drabs, and then you get a big expose, and then you're going to get more dribs and drabs.
The thing that's crazy is it feels like Jeffrey Lurie knows that it's wrong.
Oh, I don't know about that.
But he's doing it anyway. Okay, if the reason I say that is when he was asked in that recent
Zoom press conference.
Zoom conference.
Yep.
If his level of involvement has increased, his answer was, no, you know, I think it's about the same as it's been for the last 25 years. He's not coming out and saying, "Yeah, I'm more involved and I'm choosing to
because you believe
influence
you,
the draft.
You believe
more.
He's lying.
I think he is lying. I think he knows that it's wrong what he's doing, or that it will be perceived as wrong.
Yep.
And so he's covering his tracks.
I agree with that.
That's a bad sign.
I agree with
that. He's not coming out and saying, you know, I've learned a lot about football over these 25 years, and so I feel like I deserve some say in these draft meetings.
Yeah.
He's not saying that.
Well,
he's saying my level of involvement is the same as what it was when Andy Reid was here. And it's not.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I felt one of the really fascinating parts of the story from yesterday from The Athletic was when it detailed Lurie prior to buying the Eagles and how he was one of those, you know, draft fanboys,
yeah.
basically.
Yeah.
Where, and I have some friends like this. I mean, listen, I get into the draft, believe me. I mean, heck, first of all, I'm a big Eagles fan, I'm a big NFL fan, I'm a sports talk show host. I'm going to get my hands going on the draft and, you know, what do I think and follow the mock drafts and, you know, follow coverage on ESPN and the NFL Network and all that. But I'm not someone that, like, for instance, puts together my own mock draft. I mean,
yeah.
I don't do that.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, let me put it this way. When I'm watching the draft, other than the Eagles aspect of it, I'm enjoying it as a fan. I mean, some years I'm probably drinking with my friends. There was one year I went up to New York to go to the draft. I stayed in New York with me and a buddy, and then we went over to the draft. It was the year the Eagles took Freddie Mitchell. Michael Vick went with the first pick. Like, I'm a fan. But I'm not to the point where, you know, the way it was kind of laid out that Lurie's doing, like, where, you know, he's so involved. And again, this is before he was the Eagles owner, that he's like, he's got his hands all over it. That to me, that's when you wonder, has fanboy become the owner, become, wow, I'll just do what I want as the owner with personnel decisions.
Just out of control.
Right.
We that picture in my mind, I think I've talked about the picture in my mind. You know where
yeah,
I'm going. The Senior Bowl, what was it, 2016?
Yep. Yep.
And Jeffrey Lurie was down there on the field, and the pride that was welling within him. You could see, like, just in the way that he walked, he felt like that's where he belonged. And my first reaction was, what the heck is he doing? Why is he out there instead of the, you know, like the scouts? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, you were up in arms right from the jump on that.
But it wasn't so much that he was there. It was the way he was there. It was the expression on his face. It was the confidence that he was walking with. I don't know. It just felt wrong.
But I will say, and I said it at the time, and I'll say it again, it's just a photograph.
I know.
I mean, the wind was blowing. They weren't wearing, like, the greatest clothes, meaning it was kind of, they had a frumpy sort of appearance going thing. The wind was blowing. Hair was, you know, probably had been moving around right before and after the photograph. It just looked bad. And my point to you then, and I'll say it now, is I don't think it's fair to leap to all the conclusions you leapt to at that moment. I mean, I've always
believed that. But as of right now, it feels like those conclusions that I leapt to might have been accurate.
Some of them, yeah. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. What do you make of the Lurie thing? Also, I swear I'm going to give all Eagles fans hope. All Eagles fans. Hope for 2021 and the possibility for the bird season being better than you expect. We'll get to that in just a moment. Let's go to Eric right now. Eric, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going well, Eric.
Love the show, man.
Thank you.
Is that too much speakerphone?
No, we got you clear, man. Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to beat the drum for Odubel Herrera, man. I know what he did is 100% wrong, and if you can't get past it, I understand it. But I'm telling you, the guy's got athleticism that our other guys don't have, and I've seen him for a half a year. Like, I mean, I've seen him make the All-Star team. So
he's looked – yes, he looked amazing for small little stints.
Yeah.
But then he looked – awful and made boneheaded plays, and it was endlessly frustrating as well.
And Eric, there's another aspect to this. We don't talk about it much, but Quinn, not Haseley, is the bigger issue of the two guys in the major leagues right now. And if they're going to replace Quinn, you know, there's a case they're going to replace him with a right-handed hitting batter, which is Kingery, not Herrera. So, you know, that works against the Doble in this case.
It does. I guess I'm just – somehow I like Odubel. I guess I just love his athleticism and his – you know, I saw some bonehead stuff, but we can hopefully get that right.
I just don't think he's that good, Eric. That's the aspect of this I think a lot of people forget. He's really, in my opinion, his career arc, totally aside from what happened off the field, his career arc when playing, to me, is fairly reminiscent of Mikel Franco. Now, Herrera, when he was good, was better than Franco when he was good. I want to be clear about that.
You see, Franco's up in the top of the Major League hitting leaderboards.
Well, we know
this year.
He can have a good first week of the season. Yeah. We've seen that. I'm just telling you, Eric, I don't think he's that good. Eric, give me a wonder of the world. What do you got?
Niagara Falls.
Oh, another good answer, man. Good stuff. Speaking of answers, James, what do you make of the Philly center field situation and what happens? Where does it go from here?
It's a great question. I'm 100% with you. Roman Quinn is unplayable. You can't have him on the roster. He is an automatic out at the plate. Just can't have that guy on the roster. I'm with you, Joe. I think Kingery makes the most sense from a roster construction standpoint. I think the right-handed thing matters. I think that's why Quinn's still here, because he's a switch hitter and he can bat right-handed. You'll notice a lot of times when a righty starts, it is Haseley going up against the righty.
Of course.
I think that makes a ton of sense. And look, I think there's a chance it's Mickey Moniak before Odubel. Like, Mickey Moniak was crushing it in the minor leagues, and he's still only 22, and you have a lot more invested in Mickey Moniak organizationally than you do in Odubel Herrera. So I wouldn't be shocked if it's Mickey before Odubel, but I agree with you. I think Kingery's probably the first move.
All right, what to do at center field with the Phils? 215-592-9494. All right, let me roll out a case here. You know... John, I'm curious if this grabs you. James, I'm curious if this grabs you and everyone listening at 215-592-9494. So, as we know, the Eagles are down in the dumps. They're in the toilet. I think I made a comment sometime in 2020, I'd rather stick my head in a toilet than, like, watch the Eagles play offense. It was so bad. It was so bad in 2020. And it's not perceived to be, you know, that much better in 2021. We'll see. They've changed quarterbacks. They're going to have some new players via draft picks, some free agents, but that's really been on the defensive side of the ball so far. I mean, they're going to get some injured players back, we'll see. But the thought process of many is the Eagles are, and this is John's thing, Eagles are so bad, come on, no real chance in 2021. You know, just stop. All right. Let me make what I think is a compelling case for the Eagles having a better chance to win the division in 2021 than you might think. I thought, John, recently about how, and we've covered this fact many, many times, and it appears multiple times a season. You watch an Eagles game, and you'll see whether it's Fox or CBS, they'll flash up the graphic of how there's been no repeat NFC East champion, you know, win the division and then win the division again the next year. No repeat champion since the Eagles in 2004. John, your two teams, the 03 Eagles, and then the 04 Eagles. 04 Eagles, the last NFC East team to repeat as division champ. And I thought recently, okay, well, I know that fact. I think we all know that fact. We've covered it many times. And I thought, well, let me look into who actually does win the division. I mean, if we have a case here where we have 16 consecutive years, 16, where the first place team doesn't win the division the next year, who wins the division? It's obviously either the second, third, or fourth place team. How does that shake out?
But that's not how it works.
Well, here's how it shakes. It is how it works. The first place team is not repeated. Here's how it is shooken out.
But that's not something that's set in stone.
No, it's not. But make it as. But remember, there's advantages to not win a division. You get a higher draft pick. Yes. You get an easier schedule. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's how it has over the last 16 years gone. The team that finished in first place has won the division, as we just covered, zero times. The team that finished in second place the following year has won the division 8 of the 16 times. Pretty sizable number. The team that finished in third place in the NFC East the next year has won the division 1 time. The team that finished in last place, the fourth place team that gets the easiest schedule, gets a high draft pick, but I think the easiest schedule is the bigger aspect of this. The team that has finished in last place in the NFC East in the last 16 years has won the division 7 times. Now, the Eagles just finished in last place. 7? And I got to tell you, I find it shocking, but at the same time, not totally surprising, because we know enough about NFL football to know fast turnarounds happen. 7 times in the last 16 years, the team that finished in last place in the NFC East won the division the next year. John, what do you mean? I mean, that gives me hope doesn't mean the Eagles are going to springboard to 13-3, be elite, and contend for a Super Bowl. And that is the goal, contend for the Super Bowl. But it is fun when you have a fun season, you make the playoffs. Seven of the last 16 times, last place won the division. John, what do you make of it?
If they had been close last year, I could understand a reason for optimism. If they had done amazing things in free agency, you know, this spring, I can understand optimism. We are broke. We are dysfunctional. I think we've gotten worse. And so I am not optimistic.
Well, I'll say this. I think Washington and the Dallas Cowboys have been way more dysfunctional than the Eagles historically, and they are some of the teams that bounce back from last place to first place. By the way, so have the Eagles. Eagles have done it a couple times. James, when I lay it out, seven of the last 16 years, last place went on to win the division the next year in the NFC East. Does that, for you as an Eagles fan, give you some hope?
It doesn't. It does nothing for me.
Wow.
Because context is
tough crowd around here.
I can't believe it gives you hope.
Of course it gives me hope.
They're a horrible team with a horrible roster and a head coach who's in over his head. Like, this is a bad situation, man.
A head coach is going to be told on Tuesday what to do.
Like, yes, there's a little bit with the schedule. That matters. Sure, I get it. But, like, this whole, like, same team hasn't won in 16 years is coincidence. It is not something that you can count on from year to year.
I don't know if coincidence. I mean, the fact that the first-place team gets a harder schedule, I don't think that is coincidence. I really don't.
Okay, why has it never happened in any other division? Why is this such a big
deal? I don't know.
Because it's coincidence. Like, maybe there's a tiny bit of the schedule, and that stuff matters a little bit. But the idea to say, oh, Washington's not going to win it this year because they won it last year is asinine.
Well, I mean, maybe athletes, when they struggle, come back hungry the next year. Maybe when they're well-fed, they're less hungry. I mean, Jason Kelce, the Eagles offensive line coach, hungry dogs run faster. Maybe when you stunk, maybe your coach is digging in on you more in training camp, and
you come out
with more fire.
The problem is Washington, they won it, but they still stunk.
Well, that,
and they know.
Sure.
I think they're still hungry. They want it, and they still know they need to do a lot better than what they put out there last year.
Clearly, and that's a historical aberration that you have such a low-level team that actually won the division. I mean, that's never happened in the NFC East where a team had been below 500. Look, I'll pose to everyone the question at 215-592-9494. When you hear those facts, and they are facts, nothing here is an opinion when I laid out the seven times in 16 years the last place team has won the division. What do you make of it? And does it give you hope? It does give me hope, I'll tell you that. 215-592-94. I don't see how it doesn't give you some hope.
I don't see how you look at that as gospel. I mean, that's like saying, hey, the Eagles haven't drafted a guy from Alabama in 18 years. They're not going to draft a guy from Alabama. It's a coincidence. It's like a number of factors go into all that. The bottom line is we were the worst team in the division last year. The other teams got better by adding guys this spring.
Yeah.
And we didn't.
Well, the salary cap issue is a problem. I totally get that. Let's go to Larry in Northeast Philly. What's up, Larry?
How's it going, Joe, today?
Good, buddy.
I have to say, you know, the last couple years, it's been watching you kind of have a little by little, like a mental fall. And I kind of, until you got to the thing with the Eagles, and it's so off the base. And I really you have to go back to June of 2019 when I whipped you pretty good at Beat the Hammer. I don't think you've been the same since.
Pretty good.
Ooh, I like this day.
Oh. Pretty good. Larry, my record is 153 and 20. My record is 153 and 22. I mean, I know I started off 22-0. But it's. I mean, think of it this way, Larry. When the 0-1 Sixers started out 10-0, you didn't actually think they were going to go 82-0, right?
That's true.
Okay, so I started out 22-0, and I've settled into a 153-22. I mean, still exceptional.
That is also true.
So, Larry, you think you might have knocked something loose.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing as well is...
we're proud to appreciate that.
Nah. So I think it could have been. And between that and all the constant bathtub visits, you know, the water got into your brain.
That's good for the brain, Larry. I get in there and read some books, man. I try to educate myself a little bit. I try to be a learned man.
But... just to throw my two cents with the Eagles.
Yes, sir.
You know, everything what everyone's saying is there's a big difference between how, you know, like I think two times since Jeff Lurie, the team has been really bad. They came back. And I think James has said it a second ago. It's talent. when the Eagles, you know, under Andy Reid, when it was dysfunctional, but there was still talent. When Chip, the whole thing with Chip Kelly, Doug Peterson, he inherited a lot of talent. Think about it. You know, the whole offensive line was good. The defensive line was good. All they did was, you know, and granted, you give it to Howie Roseman. You bring in a Ronald Darby. You bring in a Garrett Blunt. And then during the season, you bring Jay Ajayi. It was complimentary pieces. If the Eagles were in that situation today, yeah, you could say they could bring in some complimentary pieces. But there's everyone's older. There's a lot of guys who are hurt. And it's just like the energy, it's not there. I mean, their only shot is really if Jalen Hurts really grabs his team.
That is a big K. Yeah. All right, Larry, give me something other than my Beat the Hammer record. Give me a wonder of the world.
If it's okay, I have to pick two. One on serious and one kind of funny. So the serious one will be, I don't know if it's one is the pyramids in Egypt.
Already, that's an official wonder of the world. You got to give me something else. Just give me that funny one then.
The most make the eighth wonder of the world, Andre the Giant.
Andre the Giant, listen.
Yeah, that's a great answer.
That's reasonable. Yeah. Certainly a more reasonable point than his first point. I mean, what is he saying? June of 2019?
He's saying that he beat you at Beat the Hammer, and then you've basically just been on a downhill decline.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I mean, nailed it.
He broke you.
He broke you.
No. Let's just remember, I hate to do it to ourselves, but I got to say, it was like a little extra cherry on top when the Eagles won the Super Bowl that it was against the New England Patriots. And we were strutting around here, peacocking as Eagles fans. Oh, we took down, not only took down New England this year, we ended New England's run. No, we really didn't. They won the Super Bowl the next year.
Last team to beat them in the Super Bowl. That's all I'm saying.
Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie up ahead. Your chance to win $1,000. Also, we're looking for wonders of the world. How concerned are you with Lurie and his involvement? What do you make of the fact probably has been going on for a bunch of years now? Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, plus what's it doing center field? Phillies, they got to really solve this because Roman Quinn, he can't play. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.